Our first keynote speaker is Mary Pilon. Mary is an award-winning sports reporter for the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. And the topic of her speech today is on her new book, The Monopolists: Obsession, Fury, and the Scandal Behind the World's Favorite...
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction, and thanks for having me here. I was joking earlier, it's so much more fun to come here when you're not on book deadline and when it's out on shelves. The Birthplace was a huge resource in figuring out Monopoly. And I'll talk a little bit about how I first, you know, crossed paths with Henry George, which the short answer is by accident, a little bit about the game, and then I'll be around afterwards if people have questions. It took me 300 pages, so I'll do my best in just a few minutes. So I came across the story of Monopoly and Henry George's involvement totally by accident. In 2009, I was on staff of the Wall Street Journal. I was part of the money and investing team, which is the part of the paper that's tasked with covering Wall Street and the economy, which, as you'll remember, in 2009 was really depressing. And I have always loved games and puzzles, and I was going to mention in passing, everybody knows Monopoly was invented during the Great Depression. I thought it'd be a funny reference in light of, you know, the theme that real estate was obviously playing in the financial crisis. And I was looking around for the story, and I was so frustrated because it wasn't adding up. I, like everybody, thought Monopoly came about during the Great Depression. It was invented by a man named Charles Darrow. It was tucked in the box that I had played as a child. And I thought, oh, I'm such an idiot. You know, here we are writing about derivatives and investment banks, and I can't get the sentence about the board game right, because the Journal is a paper that just has to be bulletproof. Every single sentence is agonized over by reporters and editors. So I came across this man named Ralph Ansbach, who I had done the math, and I had seen that he had been involved in litigation with Parker Brothers in the 70s, and I thought, and you always have this feeling as a reporter where you don't know who's going to answer your call. You don't know who's going to scream at you. You just never know what you're going to get. So I contacted him on a whim, and I thought, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but I see you spent a lot of time in litigation with Parker Brothers. I'm a reporter at the Journal. I'm just trying to find out the truth about Monopoly. And he immediately got back to me and said, oh, I know all about it. For 40 years, I've been investigating this. So that eventually became an article at the Journal, which then became the book. And the story that he told me, which I ended up spending 5 years researching, which is how I ended up here, was that it was actually invented by a woman, Lizzie McGee, who was an impassioned follower of Henry George. So not only did Monopoly, and she was also a very outspoken feminist, her own politics were fascinating. Her father, James McGee, had given her a copy of Progress and Poverty, and James McGee turned out to be a fascinating character. He had traveled with Abraham Lincoln during the Lincoln-Douglas debates. He was a very influential newspaper owner in Illinois. So once I figured out what those roots were, the idea that this woman would hear about Henry George and that his beliefs would really resonate with her wasn't too surprising. And the idea of a woman creating a board game was really unusual. When she received her patent in 1904 for the Landlord's Game, fewer than 1% of patents were given to women. So she was pretty extraordinary. But the idea of using board games as a teaching tool wasn't totally novel. Milton Bradley and George Parker himself had really used them as ways of communicating a political message. And so you have to remember, I'm coming across this all in 2009 and 10. And the idea that Monopoly started out as a critique of capitalism or questioning elements of it. And at Occupy Wall Street, Mr. Monopoly was being plastered on these signs at another moment of economic crisis seemed so funny and fitting to me that, you know, all this time later, the ideology was coming full circle. And I was fascinated by how she used this game, and she had a lot of writings and short stories where she talks about income inequality and all these things that were being discussed in the pages of the paper every single day. So I felt like I was getting this time machine, but I was right back where I was every day in the newsroom. For the last 5 years, people have asked me, why have you spent all this time writing about board games? You know, there's a lot of things you could spend time, you know, writing a book about or any other project. And I just feel like if we can't get the story of Monopoly right, we can't get anything else right. And, you know, I write about legal issues and business issues, and I have friends who are war reporters, and, like, these are really critical things. And this place and others really showed me the role of real-time news and newspapers, and reading about Henry George and how he was covered in the time completely changed the way I view it. So I think that there's an important role in not just questioning things, but also being analytical and thinking about who these characters are that make history. And the more we have places like this and documents and can connect people with these real life characters who aren't just people in textbooks, I think we're all better for it. So thank you.
Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Thanks for coming.
Of course.
Obvious question. What made you write the book on Monopoly?
I came across this book totally by accident. I, like most people, thought it was invented by a man during the Great Depression. Turns out that story is not exactly true. And in fact, the game originated with a woman in 1904 who was an impassioned follower of Henry George.
What is the future of Monopoly as you see it and from your perspective now?
Well, the game itself is on all sorts of different platforms. It's played on the iPhone. It's played on the iPad. It has a whole new digital life to it. But I think what's interesting about the game itself is that it started out as a teaching tool to show some of the criticisms of capitalism. And when I started reporting the book, Occupy Wall Street was a big news story that I was covering. And it was interesting to see the iconography of the game used as a critique again, almost more than a century later. So I wonder, you know, how the game as a symbol will evolve and whether it'll kind of end up getting back to its roots.
Okay.